Today we come to this end of the church year with a celebration of the festival Christ the King. You may not know this, but this festival is relatively new addition to the church calendar. It was created in the Roman Catholic Church by Pope Pius XI in 1925. Its observance eventually was adopted by many other denominations, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, most of the denominations that follow the liturgical church year, the life of Christ through each year. But what you might find interesting is that year that Pope Pius XI created the festival, 1925. Do you know what else was happening around the world in 1925? The world was still reeling, trying to recover from the devastation of World War I. Europe was in political turmoil and fascism was on the rise. In case you need a reminder, Merriam-Webster says, fascism, a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and often race above individual. That's associated with centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader that's characterized by severe economic and social regimentation and forcible suppression of opposition. 1925, Benito Mussolini had become the dictator of Italy. 1925, Joseph Stalin was taking control of the Soviet Union on his way to becoming a dictator. 1925, Adolf Hitler, gradually rising to power in Germany, had published his world-changing book, Mein Kampf. There was a rising tide of nationalism and fascism leading Pope Pius XI to declare a new festival of the church specifically to remind the church to call to mind among followers of Jesus this truth that we believe. Our allegiance, our loyalty, as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, is first and foremost not to nations, not to governments, not to political leaders, but to Jesus. Jesus is King. That's a radical statement. Jesus reigns over the universe. Jesus reigns over the world. Jesus reigns over me. This is a statement that I think changes our perspective. It's a truth that lies at the heart of Christian faith that we sometimes forget. And so this day, the end of the year in which we have thought through all of Jesus' life, this festival reminds us that as important as our nation is to us, as important as patriotism is, as important as good government and political leaders are, as important as all that is, Jesus, our Christ for us, is above all. Christ is King. Today we're reminded that Jesus is here to inaugurate the reign of God, a reign of peace and justice, mercy and grace over all people in the world. This is not only radically different from the typical world's view, let's be honest, it's different from the way we usually think about reality. I mean, really, how often when you think about leadership have you had this thought? We have a mayor, a city manager and city council, county council, state governor, state representatives, three branches of the U.S. government. But above and beyond all that, superseding, surpassing, and even more important, I have a king, a monarch, a royal ruler. Have you ever had that thought even once? But that's what Christ the King invites us to consider. It asks us to consider that Jesus the Christ holds our deepest allegiance. So what does that mean? What does that mean to say we owe allegiance to Jesus, his teachings, his commands, his calling? Imagine what it would be like if we worked hard at dwelling in Jesus' teaching, at considering each of our choices, decisions with the thought in mind. Does that bring about the reign of Christ? Now, it's important to make sure that we know what it means when we say that Christ is King. That's a bit complicated. Some pastors don't like Christ the King Sunday. I see reflection on this every year. They feel that the worldly images of a king are so off the mark from who Jesus is that it's better not to say Christ is a king because our image of king is so un-Jesus. They also point to the fact that in the Gospels, Jesus himself tries to prevent people from proclaiming him king. So maybe to some degree they're right. Maybe it's equally important to say what Jesus being king does not mean. And I think that's what we see in today's gospel reading from John. This scene that we heard, Jesus has already been arrested. He's already been tried and found guilty by the Jewish council. But because they don't have the authority to sentence Jesus to death, they send him to Pilate, who's the Roman governor, who's placed there by the Roman emperor, the Caesar, the Roman king, to oversee the puppet kingdom of Israel. King Herod's allowed to rule Israel, but only as long as he cooperates with the Roman military occupation. So Pilate, truly the highest authority in the nation at the moment, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Why does Pilate ask him this? Because if Jesus would just say yes, Pilate's job would be done. Anybody who claims to be a king automatically dispatched. But Jesus answers the question, "Are you a king?" by asking a question back. Who's asking? Who told you this? Why do you ask me? Then Pilate says, "Not me. Your people handed you over to me." And then comes the crucial part. Jesus replies, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the leaders who want to destroy me. But my kingdom is not from here." You see, it's important to see in Jesus' own words, Jesus' kingdom is not a worldly kingdom in which people fight for power. Jesus' kingdom was not about overthrowing the Jewish or the Roman authorities, not about taking their place. It's about transforming people. Kingdom about transforming the way we live, the way we interact, the way we live together and care for one another. Of course, all Pilate hears are the first two words Jesus says. My kingdom, so you are a king, Pilate says. You can almost hear Pilate thinking, if this rabble-rouser from the backwater of Galilee would just claim to be a king, I could be done with him. But again, Jesus refuses to answer directly. So you are a king, Jesus replies. You say that I'm a king. For you see, the very fact that Jesus stands there being judged by Pilate means that Pilate is considering him a threat to the Roman Empire. What Pilate is doing here is what he would do to someone claiming to be a king. Jesus says, you put me here, not me. You perceive me as a threat. Jesus simply won't cooperate with Pilate's efforts to get him to claim to be an earthly king. Jesus tells Pilate what his kingdom is not. His kingdom, God's reign, what he proclaims, is not founded on power, not built on military might, not built on establishing a government. It's founded, Jesus says, on truth. The truth about God. The truth that God so loved the world that God came into the world to save it. To save it from condemnation, to save it from destruction, to save it from human sin, to save it from the powers by which we destroy ourselves, oppress one another, by which we're torn apart. The powers that lead to division and conflict, hate and violence, terror, murder, warfare, death. Friends, this is the good news. Jesus' kingdom is from God. It's founded on the truth of who God is. It's founded on the truth of God's justice and mercy, grace and peace, the truth of God's love. We trust, we cling to this truth that when, as they always do, when kingdoms of the earth crumble, when empires of the world fall, when institutions crack apart under the weight of their own corruption, the truth of God that Jesus proclaims will reign. When God, when Christ is king, oppression will end. Hate will end. Violence and murder will end. Fear will end. The reign of death over our hearts will end. And God, who is love, will reign in peace. This is the proclamation. This is the promise. This is the good news of Christ, our King. And this is our calling, to proclaim that promise, to repent and to recommit each day to being a sign of Christ's reign by living as if that reign has already begun for us. Amen.